Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's house, the house he's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
We have our text this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 5. If you'd like, please follow along in your Bibles as I read. John chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. May God add his blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the studying of his word. It is almost difficult to believe, isn't it? Less than a week ago, we celebrated Christmas Day, and it's now time to turn our thoughts towards the end of this year and the beginning of the new year. And this morning, as we reflect upon the upcoming new year, it is my hope that our resolutions will remember Christ and our personal relationship with him. And Brother Jimmy asked this question in a little different way this morning, but as the end of 2009 approaches, what type of year has it been for you? Has it been a year to cherish and to be thankful for, or has it been a year to quickly forget? But no matter how this year has affected us, the last days of 2009 fill us with hope. We hope a new year will bring a fresh new start, a new beginning. And as we embrace such hope, many of us make new year resolutions. And we pledge or promise ourselves or God that we will personally be different in the year 2010. And this morning, I wish for us to focus upon New Year's resolutions, which I believe we should consider making. And I'm confident that most of us have made New Year's resolutions and failed to keep them. I know I have year after year. But regardless of the success or failures, I want us to give New Year's resolutions one more chance. And this time, I want us to realize that it is a team effort to keep those resolutions. So invite the Holy Spirit to be a member of your team to help you keep the resolutions that you have made. You know, the disciples were also faced with a new day. Their leader and master, Jesus, was dead. He had been crucified. Their hopes were shattered. Their dreams were shattered. And even though Jesus appeared to the disciples after his death, it was only for some 40 days, and then he was taken into heaven in the presence of the disciple. And after Jesus' ascension, the disciples were assembled in an upper room in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, and they knew what needed to be done, but they had neither the power nor the inclination to accomplish such a task. And it was at this time when they were doubting themselves that the Holy Spirit entered the picture. If you look at Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, we read about this. The disciples were assembled together on the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit appeared to them and entered their lives, and they became bold preachers of the gospel, speaking in many, many different languages so that everyone assembled in the city could understand what they were saying. And Jesus spoke of this very same Holy Spirit as John recorded in chapter 14 of his gospel. Jesus said, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. So as we contemplate making New Year's resolutions, we must realize that success in keeping them is not possible apart from Jesus. Remember in our text, Jesus said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." And the me to whom Jesus referred was Jesus himself. So we don't need to be alone whenever we attempt anything. Jesus will be there. But if we attempt to accomplish something without Jesus, then we shall fail. And with this thought in mind, I offer four New Year's resolutions for us to consider making and keeping. The first resolution is set aside time in our lives for Jesus. This is a resolution that somehow we work into a service at the end of the year, almost invariably every year. But it's worth mentioning each and every year. Build a personal relationship with Jesus. In the course of each day, set aside time to spend with him. You know, if we want to accomplish something, it's more likely we will do so if we put it on our active calendar. Why? Because we are reminded each day that we have a task to accomplish. And if we see that reminder in front of us, it's more likely that we will accomplish it. Look at your schedule for each day. And when you locate a time that you can meet with Jesus, write his name, write Jesus in that time space. Invite Jesus to meet you on that day and at that time. And use this time with him to read the Bible, read an inspirational book, sing a hymn, keep a journal, pray. Mix it up. Don't do the same thing and say the same thing every time you meet with Jesus. It gets boring. And I'm sure it's boring to him, and it gets boring to us, and we get more and more likely to not continue to meet with him because it's become routine. And after you find a time, schedule short amounts of time with Jesus. Use the exercise principle. How many of you have said, okay, I'm going to start exercising today? And you go to the gym, or you get out the treadmill, or you get out the weights, and you spend an hour, and you can hardly get up the next morning, much less exercise again. And usually that's the end of it. Occasionally, a week or 10 days later, we might try it again, but usually that's the end of it. Pace yourself. Jesus would rather meet with us a minute a day, every day of the year, than meet with us 20 minutes a day, six times a year. So put it on your calendar and plan on spending time with Jesus. And as you build this relationship with Jesus, we learn to hear the voice of God through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will then personally convict us, guide us, teach us, counsel us, and comfort us. And when this occurs, our relationship with Jesus will deepen and we shall grow in our spiritual walk with him. The second resolution I'd like for us to make and keep is stay or become active in a local church's worship or Bible studies. If Ephesus is not the church for you, find one. Find one that you feel comfortable attending. If this church of God is for you, then come. Not just for fellowship, but to study God's Word with others in Sunday school or in Bible study. But don't come just once on Sunday for worship service, or once a month, or once a year, if you hope to attain personal spiritual growth. You're not going to get it. In order to become all we can be as Christians, we need each other. even more than the fellowship. As wonderful as that is, we need to meet with each other in groups to study God's Word. And here at Ephesus, we offer that opportunity every Sunday at Sunday school and every Wednesday at midweek Bible study. Remember, you are the one that's missing out if you don't take the opportunity to study God's Word with others. A third resolution that I'd like for us to make is choose to tithe regularly next year. There are very, very few times when God invites us to test Him. But one of those times is recorded in Malachi, the 3rd chapter, verse 10. Listen as I read. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Beginning with your first paycheck in 2010, with your first source of income, give God the first fruit of that income. Before a single bill is paid, before you buy a single shirt or pair of shoes or anything, give God His 10%. Trust God to provide for us, as He says in His Word. If we obey His Word, He will provide for us. God has never reneged on a promise yet, and He's not going to renege on this one. We miss a blessing if we do not trust God with our money. But it's God's money anyway. It's not ours. You know, Clyde Smith was always fond of saying that everything that we had, God loaned to us while we were here on this earth. And I'm sure you've heard other people say that. It's God's anyway. God could demand 100%. He could say, give it all back to me. Yet He only asked for 10%. And by not tithing, we are disobeying Him. We are sinning against the very God that we say we love with all our heart. So this new year, test God. Obey Him by tithing your personal income. What would happen if everyone who attends Ephesus tithe? Can you imagine what could be accomplished for God's kingdom here in our community and throughout the world? Likewise, we need to support our building program. God has provided us the means to make a loan to construct our Family Life Center, which is well on its way to completion. And it's to His glory and honor that we construct it, and we need to justify His confidence in us by giving to the building fund. We cannot expect to enjoy a close relationship with God and experience His abundant blessing if we sin in our heart by not tithing. So make the resolution that you and your family will tithe in 2010. And finally, the fourth resolution that I suggest that we make and keep is to place any undesirable habit, addiction, sin, problem, etc., in God's hands. You know, so many of us attempt to treat the symptom instead of the root cause of the problem. And unless we abide with Christ and choose to invite the Holy Spirit into our lives and into our problems, there is no hope for us. If the Holy Spirit is not with us, we shall desire to quit, and normally we will quit. If the Holy Spirit is not with us, most of the time we fail to solve the problem that confronts us. All of us are hurting and suffering difficulties. We have hidden pain and or sins about which no one knows but God and ourselves. And it's time to break that cycle. It's time to change, but we cannot change by ourselves. We need the powerful presence of God in our life. In order to change, we must start by building a personal relationship with Jesus. And we must allow God to begin in us a hunger for change and a thirst for righteousness. The new year will begin in less than a week. Let's make it a year when we place all of our problems in the ever-capable hands of God. I want you to listen to this poem entitled The New Year. Some of you may be familiar with it. I am the new year. I am an unspoiled page in your book of time. I am your next chance at the art of living. I am your opportunity to practice what you have learned about life during the last 12 months. All that you sought and did not find hidden in me is waiting for you to search it, but with more determination. All the good that you tried for and did not achieve is mine to grant when you have fewer conflicting desires. All that you dreamed but did not dare to do, all that you hoped but did not will, all the faith that you claimed but did not have, these slumber lightly, waiting to be awakened by the touch of a strong purpose. I am your opportunity to renew your allegiance to Him who said, "Behold, I can make all things new." So, for this coming year, let's make and keep these four resolutions about which we talked this morning. Set aside time for God. Stay or become active in a church. Tithe and place all the problems in the hands of God. If you haven't done that, but the Holy Spirit has touched you today and is urging you to do so, we invite you to come forward and make public the decision that, yes, I've accepted Lord as my Savior. I want Him to be the guide in my life for the next year and all the years to come. We invite you to share that with us. We'll pray with you. If you feel led to become a member of this body of believers, we'll talk to you about that. So come forward as we sing a hymn of invitation, hymn number 295, near